Herod had support from religious leaders. Not all of them, I'm sure. But that order that Herod was a part of, that order that the Roman Empire was a part of, that order was an order that was supported and maintained, not just by religious leaders, but by anybody who benefited from that order. That's the challenge. It's not just about people in power imposing this stuff. It's the fact that whenever we benefit from an order, we tend to want to justify it. Especially when we see our benefits in the context of other people who lack those benefits, who are actually suffering because of the order that's benefiting us. We need to feel as if there's some reason why we have privilege and they don't. And to think that God somehow is blessing this inequitable distribution of rights and resources helps us feel better about it, that there must be some reason why we have the blessings and they don't. And that must be a good and holy reason. But the work of the prophet is to challenge all of that. People in power want there to be this sense that this is the best of all possible worlds, this system which benefits them greatly. And people who have some margin of privilege out of that system are eager to go along with that notion. It's the prophet's job to stand with those who do not gain privilege from the system, who are being harmed by the system, to stand with those who are most vulnerable and declare that the way the system is operating is not supported by God, is not the will of God, and in fact, that the will of God has a dream of a much different order, a much better world, and that such a world is possible. It's the work of the prophet to challenge the system in all sorts of different ways, using actions, using poetry, using outrage and grief. Walter Brueggemann, one of my professors when I was in seminary, put it this way. The task of the prophet is to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, to grieve in a society that practices denial, and express hope in a society that lives in despair. The man who attacked the Muslim community in New Zealand was not a leader, but someone who had bought into this notion that somehow there was a better day in the past that was going away. That the privileges that he imagined as being his God-given right were being stripped away from him by people very different from himself. And that the way to fix that problem, the way that is always used in systems of domination, the way to fix that problem is to use violence. The system that we live in today, the system that was around in the 1950s, the system that was around in Jesus' day, that system is a system that's based on violence. And if we allow ourselves, we can be seduced into not seeing the violence that is homelessness, the violence that is imprisonment, the violence that is police reactions to certain communities, the violence that is loan policies and economic policies. Violence of the system is all around us. But we sometimes can't see it unless it's pointed out. We sometimes think that it'll slowly get better over time if we just are patient. The truth of the prophets, the role of Jesus, is that it's not about patience, it's about challenge. It's about standing up for what's right. It's about seeing beyond what exists. It's about imagining what could be. It's about challenging the present in the name of the future. The violence of our system is manifested in huge ways, and it's also manifested in the very specific fear and anger that it engenders in people. We can't make America great again by going back to the days when people of color and women were more oppressed than they are now. We can't make America great again by going back to times when we were more overtly racist. We can't go back to the days when people who were trying to change the system were labeled as communists and forced out of their jobs. If we want to make America great again, we have to imagine a different America. And we have to be careful as we work on that issue, as we seek to become a prophetic voice, we have to be careful that we don't interpret the world through our privilege. And the way to do that is to be very attuned to the suffering of those who are denied those privileges and to the vision of how those privileges can be gained by those who do not have them. Like those liberals who challenged Martin Luther King, like those liberals who would have challenged Jesus in Jesus' day, we are in a liberal world, in a liberal community. We have privilege. The challenge for us, then, is to decide whether we strive to hold on to that privilege or whether we strive to use it to make real and substantive change. The difference between Jesus, the Savior of each and every individual soul so that they can get into heaven, and the Jesus who is a prophet is the difference between a Jesus who strives to change the world as it is and a Jesus who says that it doesn't matter how the world is as long as you get out of it in good shape. The God that's sitting on our coins, on our currency, the God that sits in the Pledge of Allegiance, the God that we sing of, the God that we take for granted, is not the God of Jesus. That distinction is an important one. The idea of this calling to follow Christ as being a calling to be prophetic in the world is a central and vital understanding of what it means to be Christian. Just as Jesus struggled with religious people in his day, we will be called to struggle with our own religious people, with other Christians, and to stand alongside people of different faith communities. This isn't about religion. This is about real hope. This is about real faith. This is good news.